turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We've been talking about freedom. Everybody say freedom. Jesus said, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." So if Jesus has set you free, you're free. Let me say that again. If Jesus sets you free, then you're free. Are you free? What are you fighting today? What have you been fighting in your life? What has been overtaking you? What's been seeming to control you? What is seeming to come after you? You've got to determine in your heart that I'm free from that. Let me say that again. But I don't feel free. Has nothing to do with it. I'm still tempted. Has nothing to do with it. What has to do with it is what Jesus said. And he said, if you're his disciple, and we've talked about that, if you're coming after him, he said, if you seek me, you'll find me. Right? He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. So in my seeking him, I need to begin to rejoice that I found him. I need to begin in going after what I need to be set free from, is that I have the freedom before I even ask for it. But it's not in me. It's not in my identity in me. It's my identity in him. Jesus paid the price for your freedom. Jesus already did the work for you to be free. Jesus doesn't look at your case and go, "Well, Lord, this is one we haven't run into before. So I'm going to need to get back up on the cross, right? And work this one out." No. Jesus said, "He who the Son has set free is free indeed." And when he paid the price for your sins, and then you became identified with the price that he paid, you're free. That's a lot better than you're reacting. But he has paid the price for my freedom. Your past is not supposed to dictate your future, because your past has been hidden in Christ Jesus. Come on. I'm no longer... Listen, we have too much victim mentality that we've learned over the years because of things that have happened to us that we're still walking in. And Jesus didn't cause you to be free to stay in victimhood. He set you free so that you could be more than a conqueror in him. In him. You know, I'm going to read this and then I'll make some more comments. Hallelujah. Verse 14, it says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Thanks be to God who always, everybody say always. Always means always. Always. He's leading us in triumph. And that word triumph means a triumphal procession. He's always leading us to the place where we're in a procession of triumph. But we need to continue to be identified with him and see ourselves in him. Do you wake up in the morning and think, "You know what? I'm a part of Jesus, and Jesus is a part of me"? Think about that for just a minute. Or do you wake up and go, "Oh, God, the knee hurts, my head hurts, I don't like my kids, everything's against me"? Or do you begin to identify with the fact that I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me, and he's made me something that I never was? I need to be identified in him. And again, this word triumph means a triumphal procession. I want you to just get this picture. I'm going to
give you two pictures to get in your head. I wasn't there, and none of us were there, but at the end of World War II, they had V-Day, Victory Day. And during that time, there were cities were just packed with people. And everywhere across this country, there were banners being, I've seen the films, there were banners being raised. There was confetti coming from balconies. And there were parades of cars going through. Most of the people that were in that parade were not people who fought in the war because they were still coming back on the ships. There were some in uniform, but most of it was the people who lived here in the United States who had a united effort toward the war, right? It was a different time, man. They said, okay, we won't have this, we won't eat that, we'll ration all this because we're going to pay for the defeat of what was called the evil axis. But when they defeated him and when they found that he was defeated and they stood up for the celebration of everything that the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines had won, there was a celebration. There was a celebration of triumph. Glorious, glorious, glorious. And then I want to give you another one, and maybe you can relate more to it. Not too many years ago. Too many for my liking, but not too many years ago, the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. And then a couple of days later, there was a parade in Seattle where close to a million people showed up. And people went crazy. It was loud. It was boisterous. There was things going, you know, horns and all of that going on. And here's the team on all these vehicles and going through the town and just all the floats and all those duck vehicles, and they were just going through the town and there was just such a celebration. Why? Because Seattle finally won something, right? And there was a celebration, and what was that celebration? That was a triumphal procession because we won a stupid football game. We have a lot more to celebrate than that. I said, we have a lot more to celebrate in that. And God is always leading you to celebrate what Jesus has done. What does that mean? That means if we're going to walk in freedom, we've got to begin to declare our triumph. Not in ourselves, but in Him. In other words, I might not know what to do, but He's given me wisdom, so I'm going to celebrate the fact that He's going to tell me what to do. He's going to direct my path. Do you know that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? What does that mean? Well, I mean, in the simplest form, that means I'm right with God. And I'm as right with God as Jesus. Not because I've always done right, but because I'm identified with the one who has. If you can't celebrate for that, right? Right. None in this room, I'm sure, but how many have messed up their Christian walk since you've been saved? Aren't you glad that we have the provision? I mean, probably if some of us would have written the contract, we said, man, I did all the work, I got, and you're treating me like that? You're out. But He didn't. The Apostle John said it this way. He said, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the righteous one. He takes up our case. And He says, if you ask for forgiveness, He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your unrighteousness. What does that mean? The minute that you know you've blown it and you get up and you say, Father, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to celebrate the fact that I am with you for eternity. I'm going to celebrate the fact that you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to operate in triumph. Glory to God. Triumph in Him. Hallelujah. It's interesting because last week we talked about we get saved and we get free from the shackles of sin, but also from the performance of trying to be good enough to earn the favor of God by just identifying with what Jesus has done. And then people try to put us back under bondage. Well, you're saved, but unless you do this, 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 and this, you're not as saved as you need to be. I just have this feeling when that God makes you righteous, you're righteous. He doesn't do it halfway. He does it. So it's our identification with Him. I'm not always identifying in triumph over my behavior or in your behavior. Hello? How many have ever been let down by other people? Come on. We all have. Get over it. I said, get over it. And give them the grace that's been afforded to you. Because God is always leading you to the triumphal procession in the accomplishment that He's given to you. Are you listening to me? So rather than getting the blues, get the praise. Let me say that again. Rather than sitting there stewing in how things are awful in your life, God's not leading you to that. God's not leading you to declare that. God's not leading you in a woe is me parade. He's leading you to the place of triumph, of victory. Come on. He always, everybody say always, leads us into triumph. Glory to God. You might say, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but I know what He went through. You don't know. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Come on. Nobody knows but Jesus. He wants you to have a spirit of revelation into the knowledge of Him and the incomparable work that was accomplished on your behalf through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. See, come on, we're identified with His death, His burial, but more importantly, from my standpoint, we are identified with His resurrection. Because that same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body. What does that mean? The potential for you to have victory is already in you because God is residing in you by the Holy Spirit and through what Jesus did for you on the cross. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's look at some scriptures. Hallelujah. Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verse 1, it says, oh, clap your hands, all you His peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. You know, there were people in the Seahawks parades that made idiots of themselves. There were people who came back, and I know a couple that came back, and they couldn't talk for a week. Why? Because they yelled and shouted so much that their vocal cords were injured. When's the last time you shouted to God with a voice of triumph. And I'm convinced when we feel like it the least is when we do need to do it the most. Let me say that again. When we don't feel like it, when things are bad, when things, man, my body hurts, my mind hurts, you know, everybody's against me. That moment that we feel that is when we need to stand up and shout with a voice of triumph. Praise God, devil. Listen to me. I am more than a conqueror, not through me, but through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ because I believe. I thank you, Lord, that I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know where it's going to go, but in you I always have the victory. And no matter what this life brings to me, I've read the end of the book. And forever and ever and ever, I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to be in you. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy, because I'm going to shout to God with a voice of triumph. Not, praise the Lord. Pastor said I should praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I don't care if you get Pentecostal. What do I mean by that? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. He's worthy. I have a God who's on my side. I have a God who's in me. I have a God who's with me. Praise the Lord. I may not feel like it. People might have said all kinds of dumb things. I might even made all the mistakes in the world. But I know that 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 God so loved me that He sent Jesus to pay the price for my sins, that I might have eternal life right now. See, that's what the shout of victory sounds like. If we want to walk in freedom, we have to have a mouth full of praise. I feel like we need to be so full of God that our feelings don't matter. I heard one preacher say it this way, and it's kind of a tongue twister, so I'll try to get it out. Somebody asked him, how are you feeling? He said, I'm feeling the same feelings that Jesus felt when He paid the price for my feelings to be under the blood. In other words, if you're going to be feeling led, you'll never walk in the victorious marching parade that God has for you. And that's the very thing that will put you over when the enemy wants to put you under. Come on. I don't feel like it. I don't feel good. I get it. I get it. But how about putting praise on your lips? Did you know? Now, I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm not talking really about that. But I'm talking about the joy of the Lord being inside of you and being a part of who you are. I am generally, most of the time, a pretty happy guy. You ask me how I'm doing, I'm doing good. How you doing? I'm great. That doesn't mean everything in my life is always great. But I've determined that I'm in Him. Amen. And I've determined to let the joy of God be the barometer of who I am and how I feel, rather than my feelings being the barometer of where I am. That's good. So in other words, I'm happy. Amen. I'm happy. You remember, it was kind of an irritating song to some people, but I think it's a great song. Be happy, right? Da, 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 da. Be happy, right? Be happy. I have a choice. But my choice, well, listen, my choice to be happy is determined by my attitude toward life through the eyes of one who has been redeemed. glory to God. Go to Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 4. Psalm 92 and verse 4 says, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work." When's the last time you got glad because of what Jesus has done for you? In fact, it would be more beneficial for you to get glad about what he's done than complaining about what he hasn't done. Oh, God, you're for everybody else, but you're not for me. Oh, God, I hear everybody else's testimony, but I guess it's just my lot in life to bear. I'm just... Shh. You should tell yourself, stifle it. Stifle thyself. And begin to say, God, I want to begin to rejoice because you've made me glad because of your work. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember what you were saved from? Do you remember when the Holy Spirit came upon you and you got filled with His Spirit? Do you remember when He touched you? Do you remember anything He's ever done in your life? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. You have to choose that. If you want to live your life in the dumps, then keep reflecting on how bad things are. But if you want to join the triumphal procession, begin to remember who He is, what He's done. Glory to God. Even if you're in the worst situation that you could think of, everybody hates you, and they hate you so much because of your stand for Jesus that they cast you and disperse you into outer darkness, into a jail cell. If you'll remember who you belong to, do you remember when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail? They were thrown in the stocks. They had no idea if they were ever going to come out. They were in the lowest pit of the dungeon. It was like a sewer running through it, complete darkness. And at midnight, everybody said, "What's that? What's that sound? What is that sound?" They began to worship God. They began to sing the Psalms in the midst of the shackles. Most of us would have been, "Oh God, I tried to witness for you. All I was doing was preaching the gospel. All I was doing, God, was trying to stand for you, and this is the result. How could you leave me here, God?" But they said, "No. He always leads us in a triumphal procession of worship. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, that you've counted me worthy to be put in this position. Thank you, God, that you're with me whether I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley. I refuse, God, to have anything but a voice of triumph rather than a bugle horn of defeat." Thank you, Lord. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. Look at that. Now watch this. It's really important, the wording. I will triumph through the work of your hands. Not my effort. Not my ability. Not my reasoning. Not my effort. We have effort involved, but that's not going to be the source of my triumph. The source of my triumph is going to be you living in me and me living in you and your work working through me. Whew, come on. Y'all doing okay? Psalm 106, 47. 106, 47. Hallelujah. Save us, O Lord, our God. How many of you have ever had to say that? Amen. Help! Help! The save, it means deliver us, heal us, protect us, provide for us, O Lord our God, and gather us from amongst the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. How many know that God has already given you triumph? He's already paid the price for your victory. He's already paid the price for your joy. He's already paid the price for your peace. But in order to walk in the triumphal procession that He's called us to, we have to put praise back on our lips. Years ago, a man by the name of Don Gossett, some of you will know, but old time, used to be on the radio. He had a book, he said, Praise the Lord Anyhow. Praise the Lord anyhow. And the premise of the book was, it doesn't matter what's happening in my life, whether it's good or whether it's bad, I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow. And in the book, he said, listen, when you're really having a struggle, get by yourself and say, praise the Lord 10 times, but do it with enthusiasm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it might start out like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to you about how to get out of your defeated self that brings you the blues or brings depression upon you. I'm talking about a life of discipline toward Jesus that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Is in the midst of what you're going through, praise the Lord anyhow. Again, I've told you this story before, but before I got saved, I had a mouth of the world. By that means, my vocabulary and my adjective and adverbs usually contained words that were not fit for certain company. In fact, there was one time I went home, I was with, you know, back at the house, and I was sitting in the kitchen, I can still see myself here, talking to my mom, and I let a word come out of my mouth that wasn't fitting for my mom. And see, I was, you know, 6 foot four, you know, pretty good sized guy, and she was probably 5'5", and I said that word, and her right hand came across my face. And she said, you'll not speak to me in that tone. I went, yes, ma'am. Yes, she got my attention. So that was my vocabulary. And if I hurt myself in some way, woo, you know, the mouth was out there. But I got saved. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I began to worship God. And I began to put His presence into my life. And so praise was my go-to for everything. Yeah. Praise the Lord anyhow. Listen, I was up on a ladder, and it was 16 feet up in the air. And I was nailing siding, you know, just hammering away. Well, I hit the wrong nail. You know what my response was? 16 feet. Feet up in the air. I came down the ladder pretty quick, but 16, praise the Lord. 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 Because I'd learned the honor of keeping His name at the forefront of my existence. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. He'll always lead us in a triumphal procession of praise. Glory to God. Now watch this. Go to Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians in the second chapter. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands by the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. We don't have time to go into that fully. Buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. In other words, when he was raised, I was raised. He's alive again. The stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer in the grave. He's alive again. Let all the people say, come on. He's alive, but I'm alive. I'm alive again. The stone's been rolled away. I'm alive again. I'm no longer in the grave. Come on. Amen. Because he's made me alive.
Amen.
Now watch. So I'm in him. You're in him. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're in him. So whatever is going to be described about him in these next few verses apply to you because of your identification with him.
Amen.
Are you with me? Verse 12, 13. And you being dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses.
Amen.
Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which were contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having it nailed to the cross. Listen to this. Having disarmed principalities and power, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or drink or in regard to festival or new moon or Sabbath. What is he saying? He's saying, you've been set free from the bondage of self-righteousness, and you can walk in the freedom of his righteousness. And everything he accomplished on the cross is for you. So if he defeated Satan, Satan is defeated in you through him. What does that mean? Satan doesn't control me any longer unless I listen to the lies and act on them. Hallelujah. I'm not waiting to have victory over Satan. Jesus already paid the price for my victory. He paid the price for my freedom. What I have to do is begin to declare it with a triumphal voice in my life. I can say, well, you know, my bills aren't paid. This isn't happening. This hasn't happened. God, And I get it, and I understand the torment of being in those situations, but quit looking at your situations and quit looking at your ability by yourself to rectify your situation.
Yeah.
Understand that he's with you, that he's in you, that he'll give you the provision that you need, whatever you need. He said he'd meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That means everything.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So what is my response in the midst of that? I have to begin to praise God. Thank God. Remember the covenant. And I'll close with this, and we won't turn to the scriptures. There's two instances of 1 Samuel. But it's when the whole David and Goliath thing, you know, the stones and all of that. But here's the verse that I kind of want to key in on. David said this, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And who is he to stand up to people that are in covenant with Almighty God? See, as far as David was concerned, the giant was there. He was big. He was powerful. He was huge. And in his flesh was undefeatable because he was just a little boy, right? He was like 14, 15 years old. And here's this man of a man of a man. But he said, who's that compared to who I am, but not in my flesh, in the covenant that I'm associated with? What I'm telling you, and the point of this morning is that we need to begin to understand and live life out of the identification of the new covenant, that I am born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And the life that I am living is now not lived out of my flesh, but is lived out of faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I can do all things because the one who conquered is living on the inside of me. Are you with me? Our battle oftentimes is in our thoughts, but our thoughts can be changed by our mouths.
Amen.
And the focus of what we let come out of our mouths.
Amen.
What's God's will for you? His will for you is to give thanks always.
Amen.
His will for you is to have triumph in your voice. Come on. What can man do to me? And I'll tell you, if you're really in the glory of God, if you're really in his presence, it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm running a little over, but I got to give this story. Many of you have heard it before. But I'm going to school in Bible college. And I'm working at 7-Eleven, and I'm working from 11 at night to 7 in the morning. That was my shift. And it was about 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm doing something with the hot dogs that were just petrified. That was my lunch for a lot of days. But they were petrified and just all shriveled up. And I was over there cleaning, and this guy came in and said, "I'll be with you in a minute." And so I walked back over to the counter, and he reached into his jacket, pulled out this pistol and put it in his pocket, and he said, "Give me all the money. Give me all your money. Or I'll blow your bleeping head off," and that type of thing. And I just, I'd been in the presence of God. I'd been worshiping God all night. And I was doing my job, but I was in his presence, right? This is how quick it was. That's all that I saw, the gun, right? And he said, "Give me the money, I'm going to blow your head." And I said, "What, are you going to rob me with a toy gun?" It looked like a toy gun to me. "What, are you going to rob me with a toy gun?" And I swear to you, this is the thought that came to me because I'd been in the presence of God. Here's what came to me. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, in the midst of a situation where a gun, hallelujah. You see, if that is our starting place,
amen.
I'm just living here for a short time.
Amen.
My eternal life is in him. And I'm going to dwell with him forever and ever and ever. I'm going to live here as long as I can because I want to accomplish everything that he's given for me. But death is not my enemy.
Amen.
In fact, death of this body or putting down of this body is actually the doorway into eternal existence with God.
Amen.
He always, 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 always leads us in a triumphal procession. And in that triumphal procession, praise must be in our hearts and coming out of our lips. Amen?
Yeah.
Did you get anything this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, come on. I've said this before. What are you going to do about it?
Live it.
Come on, are you going to do it tomorrow? Are you going to do it on Tuesday? Are you going to do it Wednesday? Are you going to do it Thursday night? Are you going to do it Friday? Are you going to do it when your thoughts come and begin to put you in a place of depression, when your past comes and says, "Well, this always happens to me, and I just must be on the backside of God's favor table." No. Get praise on your lips. Even if it hurts at the first to get it started. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't feel a thing, but praise the Lord anyhow. I guarantee you, if you'll determine to make that a part of who you are, your life will change in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the freedom that Jesus paid the price for me. I thank you that I'm no longer under the burden of guilt. I'm no longer under condemnation. I'm no longer an abandoned child, but I am now a son of the Most High God because you have adopted me as your child. And Lord, I just want to give you praise and glory and honor this morning for everything that you've done with me and through me. And Lord, I'm praying not only for those in the room, but those that are watching online or who will watch later. God, touch them with your Spirit right now. And Father, I'm just simple enough to believe that there's no distance in the Spirit. There's time or distance, Father, but you're everywhere at once. So, Father, you're here with us in Port Orchard, but I also believe that you're with Billy as he's at home, and I believe that you're with Jerry when he's in ICU. And God, I just thank you for your Spirit hovering over them, and I speak life to them and the freedom that you've given to them. Lord, let it be displayed as triumph, Father, so that others around them can celebrate the work that you've done in them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you don't know Jesus, call out to him. Ask him. He said, all of those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Amen, 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 amen.